Hi, I'm Katie, and welcome to Hey It Gets Better. This is the podcast where I chat to people about the ups and downs of their lives and how they got to where they are now. Life can be pretty tough sometimes, there's no escaping that fact. But at Hey It Gets Better, we're all about talking about the journey. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and remember, hey, it gets better.
Hi, welcome to Hey It Gets Better. Today I'm joined by the amazing Alice Rath, who is one of the hosts of the brilliant podcast Digital Marketing Babes, and she's also a digital marketing babe herself, as she is the CEO of Pippin's Digital Marketing. Welcome to the podcast, Alice.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, and that was an incredible introduction. Thank you.
Much better than my previous one. That was all waffle. Thanks so much for coming, Alice. I'm so excited to talk to you today, and we're going to jump straight in to the deep end.
Great.
With what was the biggest challenge to get to where you are now? And I just realized maybe let's provide some context to where you are now as well.
Yeah.
Before.
Okay. So I'm Alice Rath. I am 24. I am a freelance digital marketing babe. So I have a digital marketing agency that specializes in working with charities and purpose-led brands. That's called Pippin's Digital Marketing. I also work as a freelancer with other agencies in the charity sector. I have a digital marketing podcast called Digital Marketing Babes. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, I do a lot of youth advocacy work as well. So that's kind of how I'm aligned with the charity sector, both in the voluntary work that I do and in my career. So that's where I am today. And how did I get here? So that's a great question, first of all. One of the significant challenges was when I was younger, I didn't go to university. So looking back now, that's not a challenge, but at the time, I was going to be a primary school teacher, but I didn't pass the QTS test, which is like the maths and English test that you need to pass before you can start the degree. And the maths test was mental maths, and I found it really stressful and just was not able to pass it. So that was kind of my only option. So I decided that I was going to work for a year and figure things out. And that was a challenge because I felt like a failure. All of my friends went to uni. I had one other person from my class that I was relatively friendly with and that didn't go to uni. And she was lovely, but I felt like we both forced a friendship just because we both were at home, even though we like didn't really have that much in common. And yeah, I just remember feeling really low and it was frustrating. But I was obviously really grateful for that. I fell into a marketing role and was able to progress in my career, but that was a significant challenge. So progressing on a few years later, I became a digital marketing assistant and then progressed from that to a manager in quite a short period of time. And I didn't last long as a manager. So my other challenge was managing someone who was significantly older than me and I don't think really respected why I was there. That was a huge challenge, managing someone that knew the organization more than me, that also wasn't as motivated to learn. So I was brought in for my specific skill set and I was very confident in that. But I was managing someone who didn't want to learn what I could teach and just wanted to do their job, which was obviously great. But outside of being nice and chatting to her and being really flexible, I couldn't offer any training to her. And I just felt like, yeah, why am I here? So that felt like such a huge challenge. And obviously, I didn't last long there. But that was thankfully because I decided to go freelance shortly after the organization. And yeah, I think those are my two biggest challenges. They were quite big at the time.
I think there's a lot to unpick with those, to be fair. Especially the first one, because I mean, you're like 18 as well when it comes to uni and everything. And I think that's, you can feel like a failure quite a bit when you're younger, and you're supposed to be doing what society thinks is like best and what the predominant kind of thing your age group is doing. And it's really hard to see that those things that happen in your kind of like late teens, early 20s are sowing the seeds for what's going to come next in your life.
Yeah, exactly. And so I have this conversation with my boyfriend who's basically did a completely different route. He went off to university. He did 3 years. He didn't do a master's or anything. But yeah, we had completely different paths. And obviously that was hard as well, talking to him, and also feeling like I was a failure. And he's always been so supportive and saying like, no, this is so great. You're out and you're earning. But, you know, I became manager before him. I make more than him. And obviously that doesn't necessarily define success. But looking back now, if like younger Alice knew, I would actually be like, oh no, this is a good thing. It's really, really hard to see that at the time. And it's one of those cliches where people say, oh, what do they say? Like, oh, everything happens for a reason. And it, yeah, it does. But at the time, like, you can't see that, can you?
Yeah, I think that actually just, when I'm in one of those moods, it actually pisses me off when someone's like, everything happens for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, I want it to happen the way I want it to happen. And, like, that's just kind of one of those things, I think. I mean, this is like a little hang in there for everyone who's kind of feeling like that now. Because, I mean, everyone has different paths nowadays. And it's really hard to know which one's the right one to take. It's tricky growing up.
It really is. I still feel like I'm growing up, but I'm kind of an adult, so
I'm kind of waiting for someone to like I still think of myself like as like growing up as well, and I'm waiting for someone to kind of be like, no, you're not, it's done now.
Yeah,
like, what? No, it's not. I think but like as well, one thing as well, like, it's really interesting as well, is like the way that you became a manager very young. And I think, because I think you, that comes quite a lot with people who kind of don't go to university, you kind of have a head start in your careers in some ways because you're there longer, you're actually working, gaining experience. So to become a manager so young is really impressive. And I can imagine also it's quite challenging then trying to manage someone older than you who might not see the what your value is, even though you clearly had value, because I know how amazing you are at your job.
Thanks. Yeah, I wouldn't describe myself as a confident person overall, but when it comes to my job, I am like incredibly confident. I have serious big dick energy. And so I walked into that job like, yes, I know what I'm doing. The only thing I was a bit nervy about was managing someone, but I thought, I am generally a good people person. I care about how someone's doing in the day. I want someone to be happy and enjoy their work, and I'll do anything possible to make that happen. So I knew that I was a good people person. And then I was just doing all the things that I thought was right and just still finding it so difficult. And like she made me nervous. And yeah, it was tough, but I'm just really proud of myself that I was able to get there. And it was a really interesting realization, because when you start in a workplace, quite often the career ladder can be very linear, as in assistant, executive, manager, for example. And that was a clear path for me. And I had that in stepping stones. And then manager would be head of department and then director. That was my plan. And then I got to manager level, and then I was like, oh, I don't like this. Like, I just didn't. like it, and I was like, everything I thought I wanted, I don't want anymore. So that's how the freelance jump happened.
I think that's really kind of important to, you know, talk about how you're allowed to change your mind when it comes to actually what you want. And in fact, it's probably like a really good thing to do when you find yourself in positions that you thought you wanted and you realize you actually hate it, because it might be sometimes we're all a bit stubborn with, you know, I want to do this, and then we get there and we realize we don't want to do it. There's no harm in kind of moving away from that and changing your path, just like you did with freelancing.
Of course. I mean, if I had done teaching, I just know myself, and I know that I would have stuck with that as a career and made it my career. And I might have genuinely been quite unhappy. I might have enjoyed it. I don't know. But I would like to think now, if I was doing something that I wasn't enjoying, I'd say it takes a lot of courage. It does. It takes a lot to say, I don't like this, or this didn't bring me the satisfaction that I thought it would. So I guess it's two pronged, right? Where you've got something that you're proud, but it didn't bring you the level of satisfaction that you built it up in your head. And that's might be because, you know, you've been thinking about it for a while, or, you know, an example would be when people, I don't know from experience, but people say, like, they think about their wedding day for their whole life, and then they get married and they're like, oh, it was great, but, like, you know, I didn't actually speak to this person, or I didn't actually get to spend enough time doing this. So that's one example. And then the other is actually realizing that you got to where you wanted to be, and it's actually making you unhappy, and it's actually not something you want to be doing. And then that is when it's like really tough to actually have the courage and say, no, this isn't what I should be doing. So yeah,
I think it's courage as well that you have to find in yourself, and no one can give it to you, because you can have these conversations with friends and family like, oh, I don't like my job and stuff, but at the end of the day, when it comes to like leaving a job and things like that, it's you who makes the decision. And it was, you know, it's courage to take a risk, and it's actually also kind of riskier to stay in the job as well sometimes if you're going to be unhappy there too. I think there's so many ways you can think about this, and I think there's no doubt that making big decisions when you're at any point in your life, but particularly your early 20s when you kind of feel like a new adult, is very stressful because you're waiting for someone to tell you what the right answer is, and no one's going to tell you.
Totally. And you're right about what you just said around like it's almost like riskier to stay where you are, because if you think about it in a way that you're like delaying like your future, or delaying where you're going to be, then if people looked at it that way, I think it would be easier to handle. But because people treat it like they're failing, which is obviously completely incorrect, then it's become so much harder. Whereas if people phrase this as like, no, I need to do this because if I stay here for another month, or if I continue doing this for another year, I will be 1 year further away from my end goal, or where I'm meant to end up.
Yeah. And you're very good with your goals. Like, you're good at planning your goals. And I guess, like, I was wondering if you have any advice on identifying goals, because if there's one person I send a voice note to when I don't know what my goals are, it's going to be you.
Yeah, me and Katie love talking about our goals. I would definitely recommend to anyone who doesn't already that it's really worthwhile doing. So it's hard. I think it's good to like have your goals in different categories. You might have business goals, you might have career goals, you might have personal goals. And I think for goals outside of work, you don't necessarily need to make them SMART. So you don't need to have, they don't need to be specific, measurable, etc. Some of them is helpful to have time frames on, just to make sure that you don't like dilly-dally. One thing that I do like to do is I like to have micro and macro goals. Oh, that sounds so wanky, but it's like, it really helps. So if I'm trying to think of something insane. Okay, right. If I had a macro goal of becoming the chief exec of ASOS, for example, then you think, okay, what micro goals do I need to do to get there? So you might, for your like your big goal, you might set a time frame and say, okay, 10 years time, that's what I want. And then you could be really granular and you can work out like something you need to do every quarter, every month that's going to help you get there. Or it could even be annual. And I think that's a really good way. And it means that when you get something, when you get an opportunity, before you say yes, make sure, is it aligned with what I want? And I have a little notebook where I have like my key things I want to achieve. And so, for example, I only want to work with charities. That helps me towards my career. It brings me joy and it helps me with my voluntary career. If I get approached by a wonderful beauty brand, whilst I would love to work with them, it's not aligned with my goals. So I say, no, thank you. And I think that's also important as well. So like recognize when an opportunity is right for you, because I think we all see something that's really shiny and we get excited and it might not be quite right. So having those goals at your forefront of your mind is really helpful. I don't know if that's as helpful.
No, that is really helpful, because I think, you know, learning to say no is such an important skill. Like, especially if, you know, I'm a bit of a people pleaser. I love to say yes to everyone and everything, but I've had to learn to say no as well. And it's something that you don't really get. You always get taught about, you know, getting opportunities, and like, you know, if you work hard and you're good at what you do, there's going to probably be a time where there are too many opportunities and not enough time. And that's something that isn't really discussed as much.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely haven't mastered how to say no. I was going to say I'm a people pleaser, but I don't think I am. I think I just get really excited by things, and I get like, I really do experience like really highs and lows. And I think that's because I get like submerged into the honeymoon phase when it's like working on a new project with a new client, and it's really exciting. So that's also something to think about as well. But I don't have all the answers, and I definitely don't know how to say no as often as I should, but it's just like something to think about as well. And yeah, it's just really nice to have goals. I think my only other thing as well is just, if you don't meet your goals by like a specific time period, or you're not quite there, I think just give yourself some leeway, which is also a lot easier than it sounds, because, you know, life is tough and we're also really tough on ourselves. Don't beat yourself up about it, because I had a scenario in summer, a few months ago, where I wasn't going to reach my goal, and literally within 2 weeks I did. So that was like a real example of the chaos of being a freelancer. And it was really tough, and I was really annoyed with myself and really upset, and I took it out on like everyone around me. So like what I did is I really lent into that. So I gave myself a day to wallow. I had a day where I ate ice cream and I chilled out in bed and I watched the TV that I wanted. And then I said to myself, okay, you're going to wallow for a day and feel really rubbish because this is really unfair. And then what you're going to do is you're going to get up the next day and carry on like nothing's happened. And what I also did is I said to everyone around me, I don't want you to console me, and I don't want you to tell me that like things are going to get better, X, Y, and Z. I said, I just want you to say, this is really shit. So I guess also like setting boundaries as well for people who might be around you when you're struggling is really helpful. So sometimes when I have conversations with my friends or my boyfriend, I say, I'm going to say something, and this isn't an opportunity to provide solutions. This is me venting, and I'd like you to listen and maybe vent with me. Or I might say, hey, I'm looking for a solution. Here's my problem. And then they can then reply. So I'm trying to do that now with relationships, being really clear as well on what we're looking to get out of the conversation. a friend talks about a problem with having with their boyfriend, and I say, okay, are we venting or are we problem solving? And then that's really helpful on how you respond. And yeah, getting off track from goals here, sorry.
No, it's good though. It's good to kind of because you have, everyone has highs and lows and good days and bad days. And also when you don't make a goal and so it's something you've been working really hard towards, it doesn't feel good. Like, there's no way it feels good. It's, and learning to deal with that and cope with that. Because I'd love to say, oh, listen to Hey It Gets Better, you know, we're going to teach you the secret. You're going to achieve every single goal you set your mind to. But the truth is, you probably aren't. Actually, you know, you definitely aren't, you know, let's be honest here. But yeah, it's learning to deal with that. If you never learn how to not achieve your goals, then, you know, you're going to be, one day you might not achieve it and you'll be in trouble. And the truth is, you need to let yourself feel your feelings. Like, bottling it up doesn't help anyone.
Yeah, I think knowing what works to make you feel better and what you need to do to get to a good place is really helpful. I like, wallowing works really well for me. I need full-on pity. And if someone had told me like, oh, don't worry, or like all these different things, that would have really infuriated me. So just my tip is, know what works for you and do that when you achieve your goal, and or do something else when you, or if you don't achieve it.
Yeah, and it's good as well that it's not that you expect your friends to react in a certain way. You tell them to, like, you just tell them how you want them to react. Because, I mean, there's nothing worse than, well, there's a few things that's bad. Like, first of all, is when you are feeling sad and you've just got like the most positive person ever telling you, oh, it's gonna be fine, and you just want to be like, no, it's not.
I hate that person. Sorry. Sorry for all the positive people out there. It's never what I want to hear.
Well, thanks. You said it on the Hey It Gets Better podcast. You don't want positivity.
I want practicality. That's what I want.
That's true. And so then also, like, there's also annoying when, you know, someone, a friend comes to you a conversation and you try help them and they snap back at you. You're not a mind reader. How do you know what they need? And so it's good you actually tell people what they want. What you want. Like, it's good you say it, because no human is a mind reader.
Exactly. And also asking, so if your friend comes to you with a problem or something that's going on in their life, before like you start a discussion, like, say, hey, like, oh, sorry this happened, or this is really great, but like, what are we getting at this conversation? And like, establishing those boundaries. And I know that sounds really formal, but you can obviously say it in a more chill, open way. But it just means that you will be saying something that they're wanting to hear. Because you don't want to give advice to someone who doesn't want to hear it, and you don't want to be positive to someone who just wants to have a little bit of a vent and a bitch. Sometimes it's going to be really clear cut, like, you will clearly know what they're looking to achieve, and you can kind of let them guide the conversation, which is also really important. And other times it isn't. So just establishing that is really helpful. And that's been really beneficial for me, especially during lockdown, when you're messaging over voice notes or texting and things like that. And like, tone of voice is lost sometimes. So yeah, it might be different when we all meet up. It's been helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, it kind of, like, people need different things at different times. Like, some people, the best thing to do is talk about it. Some people need time, like, away. It's, and you kind of get to know this the longer you're like alive and like you talk to people.
Yeah,
is, you know, you become more self-aware and you also become more aware of others. And I think that's the key to kind of being a good human being, is to be both self-aware and aware of others.
Oh, 100%. Wow, that's so wise.
Oh, thanks. I just thought of it now. Sometimes I listen back to the editing of this podcast and I do think, damn, Katie, you are very wise. And then I do something stupid like the next evening and I'm like, where did those brain cells go?
There's so much wisdom in this podcast. Apart from this episode. Just kidding.
Thank you very, very much. Stop that. I can't even talk.
Negging.
I think, and now I'd love to talk as well a bit about freelancing because, so for the listeners, both me and Alice actually are freelancers, and we met and basically became freelancer friends, and then it turned out we lived really near each other, which was lovely. And freelancing is a challenge and a reward in its own way all at once.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it is tricky. So I decided to go freelance in February 2020, so great timing. And I started because, like I mentioned, I was in a managerial role. I wasn't really enjoying it. And aside from the challenges I was having with my direct report, what I really missed was doing my job. So I was a manager where I was just expected to be in meetings and be like the face of like my part of the team. So whilst it was just myself and my direct report and a volunteer, we managed social, paid media, like all that kind of stuff. So it was obviously like it came up in most conversations. And I was just in meetings all day and I found it really draining. And the few hours a day that I did have to do work, it was never to do what I was hired for, which was to run paid media campaigns, to be a data expert. Oh, just to digress, I'm now known as like an analyst and a data expert, being able to use data and kind of like translate that quite well, which is almost laughable considering that I can pass a test, a maths test to get into university. And I deal with numbers all day. So I guess learning there is life surprises you if you think about it, something, try a
different
variant.
Education system is wrong.
Yes, education is flawed. Yes. Yes, so that's how I really decided that freelance was for me, because I realized that people were being paid quite well to do what I was doing. I was like, oh my God, I can still do what I'm doing without doing the traditional career trajectory that I planned. And yeah, it's worked out really well. So I run my own agency, Pippin's Digital Marketing, but it started off as a side hustle, because I was working for a large charity where I had a lot of free time, unfortunately, and I really enjoyed it. I started off with working for small female-owned businesses, which I loved, but it wasn't quite the work that I wanted to be doing. And I think that was because I was working with a range of clients, restaurants, e-commerce, and I just felt like I had additional sector knowledge that I wasn't quite putting to use, and I missed it. So I decided to pivot towards charities, which I had done in my career anyway. And yeah, there was an opening at a agency for a freelance position 3 days a week. So I think that was like the dream scenario, because even though it was freelance, it was kind of that work that I would have, and it was an opportunity to build out my business in the other days. And that's worked out really well. So I work with multiple other agencies as Alice the freelancer. And that's good because it's teaching me how I want to develop my agency. It's given me great contacts within the charity sector. I am trying to revolutionize a little bit and be more modern and, showing up on Instagram and TikTok so I can show charities about the great ways that they can create content. But unfortunately, some of them are still struggling to show up on these platforms. So, having these traditional contacts is really beneficial. And yeah, in the meantime, I'm working on scaling my mini agency. I'd say, no, not mini, boutique. So it's me and one other individual, but we work with amazing brands, and it's all about focusing on charities that make the world a better place for identifying women. That's so cool. Like Women for Women International, WWF, One in Four, they're a small childhood sexual abuse charity. So we have some amazing clients and I love it.
That's amazing. And I think you really like hit the nail on the head right at the end there. You love it. And I think that when you are lucky enough to know what you want to do and to be able to make money from it, there's no reason you shouldn't just go for it. Obviously, there is a reason you shouldn't go for it if you can't, like, it's got to be practical as well.
Yeah.
But you can make it practical. And I think that's something that I really wanted to pick up on as well, is because I didn't consider it either, but I didn't consider freelancing as a potential opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that you went straight into the charity sector, and you have to actually think about it. Like, I don't think freelancing is actually very accessible if you have the right information, the right content, yeah. Contacts. Like, nowadays, there is so much information online and so many people willing to help that I do think freelancing should be kind of considered more as a career route, particularly for people who are young. It's not something you need to wait until you're old to do. You can do it right now.
Yeah, definitely. My advice is, if you're in a full-time career, is doing something on the side, and it doesn't have to be like loads and loads of hours, because as if you're full-time, you can earn under £1,000 within the tax year before you have to declare it. So again, that's an opportunity where you're like, there's no additional admin if you're looking to earn a small amount and kind of just test like that kind of either relationship with clients or testing your products, etc. That's a good way to get started. And yeah, it is annoying that freelancing isn't seen as a career option. And I think it's tough because it's very focused on your own motivation. And I think lots of people are very aware of that. And what's frustrating is when you work for a company, some of them, thankfully I've been quite lucky where I'm at, and I think it's just because of the charity sector, but some companies that really don't trust you. And now, like, as a freelancer, it's just like, I don't think I could work for someone, because not having that trust would really frustrate me, especially because I have so much awareness on what I'm responsible for. So I think if you go from uni, I would imagine, I don't know, Katie, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're at uni, the work you're doing, you are the only person responsible. If you don't do your essay, that only impacts you. And that's kind of, in my head, that seems very similar to freelancing. I have no one to delegate to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So,
and you can't copy off anyone either.
Exactly. So I guess it's a really good way of seeing what freelancing is like. It's all on you. Whereas obviously organisations differ, but you know, if you were to take a sick day when you're at a company, you know, either the monthly report just doesn't get done or someone else does it, which is slightly different as a freelancer.
Yeah, that's one of the kind of tough things, I think. Like, freelancing is like I think we both love freelancing, but also, like, it's not super easy and rainbows and sunshine and going for brunches every day. We still haven't gone for brunch, for example.
No. We're gonna blame it on the pandemic, but we know it's because we're workaholics.
Yeah. But so I think it's definitely like something you should I think I knew, like, I would like it just from doing Hey It Gets Better as a side project. So I definitely agree with what you're saying about having a side project. It isn't for everyone, but for some people it is, and I think it's something as well, like, you know, maybe it won't be for you now, but maybe in like a few years time it could be. So thank you so much today for coming on, Alice. It's been a great conversation, and I think, you know, I think one of the benefits as well is talking to someone who is also in their 20s, is that, you know, you are kind of living the Hey It Gets Better life right now. But you also have, you know, I've had voice notes. You do have down days as well, like,
oh, definitely.
Everyone.
Yeah, I definitely have down days.
So I just guess I want to ask, well, you know, what would you say to someone who right now they just don't feel like it's getting better, like they're really lost, they don't know what they're doing? What would you say to that person?
I really love this question, and also just as a fan of the podcast, I love the answers that people give. So there's a lot of pressure on this. All I would say is that I am a very practical person, or the things that I like to receive is practical. So what I would say to that person, if they consented to receiving advice, is I would tell them to write down a list of everything that's currently making them unhappy or not fulfilling their life, and like categorize them and write out steps on what they could do. If they don't have any free time, what can they do to improve on that, such as asking to work from home 2 days a week so they don't have to commute. I would also recommend sending voice notes to yourself. I love to vent and talk about my feelings, and sometimes that plays a very emotional burden on those around me. So I like to go out for long walks, record a voice note of myself like I'm having a phone call, and I can literally talk for about 40 minutes, and it's really cathartic. I talk about everything that I'm worried about. I talk out loud about solutions and what I'm going to do, and it's really nice. So those are like my two tips if you're feeling that way. And yeah, hopefully it helps.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you found it helpful. I really appreciate all the support I get for Hey It Gets Better. It would be amazing if you could subscribe to our channel wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want some more content, then you can always follow us on Instagram at Hey It Gets Better. And for more stories of inspiration and resources to help you get through life, visit our website, heyitgetsbetter.com. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, hey, it gets better.